Thank you, Marilyn. Test, 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 test. Is this coming through all right? Test, 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 test. There. I think we're getting there. Yep, okay, good. Well, I did come across a story this week, and Leonardo da Vinci, when he was painting The Last Supper, and Steve has a little pic there that he's going to show. When he was painting this, da Vinci had an arch enemy, a fellow artist, and he had this him in mind when he was painting. And so when he got to Judas, he painted this fellow's picture on Judas, and he tried to complete the rest of the painting. So he was getting to each one of the disciples, and he was kind of okay, but then he lost all inspiration when it came to Jesus. He could not paint Jesus' face, no matter how hard he tried. He had no clarity, no vision. He just could not do it. Finally, he kind of came to his senses and realized, by holding on to this bitterness for his arch nemesis, it was literally affecting how well he was able to paint. He had no inspiration, no peace, and it dawned on him he couldn't paint Jesus' face because of it. Only when peace entered the room and he let it go was he able to finally paint Jesus' face, and the masterpiece could finally come to life. In today's passage in Romans 15, Paul is dealing with a community that's stuck, like da Vinci. It's stuck. It cannot move forward. The Roman Christians were both Jewish and Gentile. They were in danger of losing sight of God's great story. How Jew, Gentile, you know, anything in between you can put together, all are included in God's story. They were getting tangled up in smaller things, like what kind of food was acceptable, what kind of holy days were really important, who was strong, had strong faith, and who had weak faith, and ultimately who gets to set the tone in the church, right? They were wrestling with all of these kinds of things, missing the real point that all are part of God's kingdom. And these disagreements caused a splinter in the community, and a divided church cannot display the fullness of Christ any more than Leonardo could paint Jesus' face when he was holding on to the bitterness. So Paul writes to them with urgency, make the change, let it go. Some of the Gentiles were forgetting the Jewish roots of the faith, right? They were a little bit like Marcion in the first century, who said, no, we don't need the prophets. We don't need the Torah. We're good. We got Jesus. We're good. We don't. And they were kind of forgetting that this story began with the Jews and reaches out to the Gentiles, all one family in God. The Psalms, the prophets, the story of Jesus fulfills. Jesus fulfills it all. So Paul brings them back to the purpose of the scripture, not to win an argument or to remind them, but simply to remind them of their purpose. He says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That's the point of the Bible. Not to win arguments, but so that people would have hope. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Hope. The real tension in Rome wasn't about food or about what party they were going to. Selfishness and judgment was the problem. When we judge others, that's when problems happen. It was choking out the peace of the spirit in the community. They were forgetting that diversity isn't a bad thing, not a problem to be solved. But it's actually a gift to the church when there's people that have different opinions, different theologies about God. And Paul insists that only the Spirit can create the harmony that's needed. May the God of endurance, he says, and encouragement grant you to live in harmony together. Harmony which I, you know, it's very difficult for me, but I know the choir has this in spades, but it's like different notes, different voices, all coming together, and it creates something special. That's what God was trying to build in Rome, the harmony that is produced by the Spirit. Harmony is not something we would say is kind of the word that we would describe our world today. We hear of peace deals, right? Right now, peace deals in the Congo, DR Congo and Rwanda. Conflict still brews on in Israel and Palestine. It ravages in Ukraine and Russia, Sudan. So many places where fear and violence ripple outward. And it feels like, when is this ever going to end? And countries like the Canada and the United States, who have been a haven for refugees under duress, that's stopped now. The world feels darker and fragile. Closer to home, there's still economic inequality, there's cultural tensions, misinformation spreading like lightning. Social media has just become such a haven for young people, which is in some ways good, but also the cruelty that can happen on social media is terrible. This cruelty in the high school, it's awful. Harmony strains inside our homes as well. Relationships can sometimes crack. Old wounds remain unhealed. People feel like strangers under their own roof. I've noticed in my own life, if I'm not super intentional at the dinner table, like literally like concentrating on what people are saying and, you know, trying to just be present and not think about, oh my gosh, C.D. Lamb just got a concussion on the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm scrolling through and finding out, oh, I've got to put this player in for my fantasy football league. There's so many ways that you can be distracted. And the people that you love, we're not going to be sitting there in glory like, wow, I can't believe they made it to the Super Bowl. More like, wow, my loved ones, I spent time with them. We can drift off in distraction instead of being truly present with the people that we love. And the church isn't immune. Preferences become dividing lines. Disagreements turn into conflict rather than conversation that we can have with one another. It happens so quick. One little hurt feeling and boom, argument, right? You're driving down to a nice restaurant. How does it happen? So quickly. And then you have to put on the happy face like everything is okay. Some of you probably on the way to church this morning. It happened. Does this not happen to us? So easy. We take offense so easily, and it happens to all of us. Thank the Lord for his grace. But it leads to self-condemnation, anxiety, stress, guilt, unspoken fear, isolation. The world simply aches for peace. We simply ache for peace. Our homes ache for peace. Our world aches for peace. Our hearts ache for peace. We need the peace of Christ. And yet Paul announces the good news is that Jesus is the giver of peace, the creator of harmony. God supplies it in rich measure, not something we can manufacture. Scripture tells us, may the God of hope, as Marilyn read, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, so that the power of the Spirit may abound in you in hope. That's good news, that the Spirit of peace will abound in you. Not something that we have to manufacture, not something that we have to do on our own, but God gives it to us through the Spirit of peace. Jesus said when he was leaving his disciples, he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Not a fragile peace, not a temporary peace, not a peace that comes and goes, not a peace that the world gives, but a peace that anchors us, that steadies us, that forms us, that is right there in the middle of the argument on the way to the restaurant. Paul roots this harmony in Christ's own sacrifice. Right before this chapter, he just lays it on, the sacrificial nature of Christ. That's what it means to be a true man or woman of God, is to have a sacrificial nature, to hold the tongue when you've got the opportunity to let it out, even on your spouse. This is the Spirit-given harmony. It's rooted in grace. It's shaped by sacrifice, sustained by the peace of our Lord. It's the harmony that brings the world together. It's the harmony our homes long for, the harmony our churches long for, and it's God who gives it, gives the peace to us, to share with each other. When the three astronauts, remember Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins, and they landed on the moon, and apparently they had this incredible view of Earth, and they were thinking about humans, people, and billions of us. And the first one, on the first day in orbit, they pointed out the different countries. It must have been just an amazing sitting there. Wow. The second day, they pointed to the continents. By the third day, they saw only Earth. From the heavens, all the divisions of people looked small. The quarrels looked temporary. The people looked like one family. This is the vision that Paul talks about, the root of Jesse, the prophets who longed for the day that the wolf and the lamb would lay down together in peace, that the world would be in peace, that swords would be beaten into plowshares, nations would not train for war anymore. Is that not the dream we're all thinking about? Amen? This is the peace that Christ brought, that Christ brings in your and my heart. The peace that we enter into as a community, not just individuals. We enter into it as a community, and the peace of Christ reigns in our community. Leonardo, he couldn't paint Jesus' face while bitterness was ruling his heart. The Romans couldn't reflect Christ when they had divisions over who was right and who was wrong. We cannot live our calling while we cling to the things that block the Spirit's harmony in our lives. The good news, though, is God is always at work. God is always out pouring his peace and harmony into our hearts as a community. So may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you and I to live in this harmony together. May the God of hope fill us with all joy in believing, and that the Holy Spirit would empower us to abound in this hope, to share that peace that we experience in our hearts with those in our community. All praise and glory to the good God of creation, who gives you the Spirit. It indwells in you now. Amen.